Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
It's Sunday, August 5th in Foxborough, day 11 of training camp, practice number 9, and believe it or not, the gang is all here. Well, as the intro said, except for Fred. But Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, the intern Darren Hartwell, Kevin Collins behind the glass, and fellas, after a day off, Patriots are back on the field today. Mostly full pads, except for a couple of guys who returned from injuries and are in the requisite shorts and T-shirts and helmet. But otherwise, what did you think of practice today?
Lackluster.
Yeah, I agree.
Struggling again in the passing game. I thought Tom was not really happy. Tom Brady, obviously.
Yes.
Talked after the practice.
Tom Berenger.
Again, not overly thrilled, I don't think, with the level of execution based on the way he talked early in his press briefing. I agree with Andy. The lackluster is probably a good word. I don't think it was a terrible practice.
No.
Some attrition starting to show up on the field. I mean, starting to affect, obviously, offensive line. By the end of practice today, I think Kyle Hicks at one point was nicked up.
Looked like
you saw Dan Conley, working out with the second group at right tackle. So clearly, and I thought Solder and Marcus Cannon took a lot of extra reps, doubling up. It's becoming a little bit of a concern. I think it's affecting the way some things are.
That'd be awesome if he became a starting tackle now too, after having started both guards and center. If he just continued to show how good he is, and
they might need it
Damian
at this
Woody.
Point. They might
right?
need it.
Damian Woody did all three.
He did that. That's true.
At a pretty high level.
Yeah. And we should add, there was some news on the off day yesterday, very late in the day. Robert Gallery, the versatile veteran offensive lineman who Fred was raving about for much
best,
of camp.
Best lineman in camp, he said.
Decided that he would go out while he was on top,
that's
I
right.
guess. he called it a career. decided to retire. And Bill Belichick, during the pre-practice press conference, say that 10 times fast, was asked about it, and it, some of our fans and listeners may have been speculating that he was forced to do it, but the way Belichick responded, it sounded to me like Gallery just decided, I've had enough, and I can't
and
do it anymore.
I mean, you can see why. I mean, the guy's had 8-year career, whatever, was the second overall pick, has, I don't know, $30, $40 million in the bank. We saw him out here sweating it out on a hot day, getting slapped around by Vince Wilfork. If at some point in that, I mean, your heart's not quite in it, you have plenty of reason to just bail on it and say, I get a family, I get money, I don't need to bang heads 50 times every single day in 90-degree weather.
And Bill had mentioned that he's had a couple of conversations with Gallery over the last three or four days. Listen, it's not really all that important to this, but I don't really see any way possible that he was sort of encouraged to retire. This is something, I mean, we just talked about the offensive line a little bit. They need all the bodies they can get right now. Mm-hmm.
Certainly the experienced
and capable bodies.
Bodies
are even more at a premium.
They gave him $400,000 to sign. They thought he was going to be a member of this team, and certainly his versatility as a potential guard and tackle, backup, even if he didn't start. You know, now I really think, and this is sort of a PFW in progress type comment question, but, you know, I think this puts more leverage in Brian Waters' court for him to get whatever he wants, because I think they could really use him back. And obviously, getting Mankins back, which they will at some point, will help. But, yeah, their depth is being
tested
a little bit. And certainly in practice right now, I mean, they're signing guys off the street, and 2 days later they're getting major reps. I mean, my guy Darian Weems is a regular out there, and he's been here for a while.
He had to leave practice early today.
Not a good day if you were wearing the number 74.
The guy who's been here less than a week was important already and then gone already. So now, I mean, Dante getting his money's worth,
earning his money
this week.
Just a quick follow-up, too. We hadn't seen Tony Fiametta for the past few practices, and part of that Gallery transaction announcement was that Fiametta has, for the time being, left the team for personal reasons. There wasn't really anything much elaborated upon in his situation during Belichick's press conference. Reports by our friend Mike Reese of ESPN Boston are that it's a a family-related issue that the fullback has to deal with and hopes to be back next season.
Right.
So that's really about as much as we know and can speculate on at this time. They signed two players. The net effect of that was one. But they signed a fullback, Kareem Huggins, and veteran defensive back, help me out, guys, Derek Martin. Is that right?
I think it's Derek Martin.
Derek Martin.
Now, I'm going to play the role of Bill Belichick right now and not have any idea who we're talking about.
I'm going to just go 36 and blue. He was
36
out on the
and blue
field.
Today, yes. And I believe it was Derek Martin is the
he
name.
Is he not on there?
This is an old.
Oh, okay.
This is an older one.
Huggins, I'll tell you who isn't on there. Huggins.
Huggins, who no sooner was he signed and the ink was dry than he was sent packing. So my first thought might have been Gallery / Waters related in that maybe when Gallery announced his retirement, they got on the horn with Waters and said, we need you, whatever you want, come on back. And that maybe may have happened overnight into the morning. But Bill was asked about Waters again today and said he had no updates. So,
and he said, before we could put Huggins out there, we couldn't put him out there.
We couldn't get him on the field.
Yeah.
And my guess is that is code for he didn't pass the conditioning run. But again, that's total speculation.
Right.
Although there's
not
also some confusion. He's listed as a fullback who was 198 pounds. I saw some tweets. Adam Kaplan on Twitter said he was actually a scat back before he had some injuries. So I'm wondering if there was some communication mixed, you know, scouting, whatever, and they were looking for a fullback to fill Fiametta's place because Spencer Larson's been out of practice right now. So their depth at fullback, if they were trying to make that a part of this team, is being tested.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if, whoa, you're little.
Yeah, you're not a fullback.
Who are you?
No question.
And that theory, I think, will hold true either way if they sign another fullback in the next day. Like, they want a fullback, and this guy wasn't ready to come in right now for one reason or another and be a fullback.
Yeah, I mean, you could put the word fullback in front of LaMichael James or Darren Sproles.
Right.
Making him a fullback.
Doesn't make it so, right.
So, I mean, we saw the goal line today. The only guy they had to play fullback was Eric Catani, and even he is not a true...
He's a tweener.
Bruiser
he's
fullback.
Type.
Yeah, and, you know, these other guys, Larson and Fiametta, have made their money as fullbacks, as getting in front of a ball carrier like they had today on the goal line and opening up a hole. They don't have one of those right now, so if you're planning to have one of those, you got to get one of those.
And I'd have to say, somewhat bad news on the defensive line for Ron Brace in particular, who had been contributing throughout this camp, and then suddenly today he shows up in shorts and a T-shirt, unsure what his situation is. But not good news for a guy like him, a veteran who has had his injury problems, has struggled to contribute since being a second-round pick?
Indeed.
High second-round pick?
Correct.
From 2009. And... you know, he needs every rep he can get out there. He needs to contribute. Because some other guys, like Justin Francis, continue to show that they possibly might have a role with this team.
I'm now making him a lock to make this football team. If he doesn't get hurt, Justin Francis will be on this team. And I'm going the other way, by the way, on another guy. Another Fred Kirsch special.
Trevor Scott.
Trevor Scott, I'm saying, will not make this football team.
Will not make this football
I've seen
team.
Enough. He has become borderline irrelevant in rotations. I said to Paul today, you know, early
not
in
really
camp he was
any.
A starter. Then he was a backup. Today, they went defensive line, and when it's not Chandler Jones or Rob Ninkovich, it's Jermaine Cunningham coming in. It's like they replace one and rotate those guys through. I mean, Trevor Scott, to me, has become just a camp afterthought. And I know to make some, you know, roster decisions 7, 8, 9 days into camp is, you know, borderline ridiculous. But this is a guy who didn't do anything last year with the Raiders. So it's not like you're saying, oh, you know, he's a former Pro Bowler who's off to a slow start.
Right.
He's a guy who didn't do anything, who's not doing anything.
And they started using Brandon Dederick today, who, for the most part, has been inside this camp. Today, he was playing on the outside a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a little... I think that's more of going to be, you know, they were referring to it as regular. I think that's going to be their, if we think the other team's going to come in and run the ball, if they play Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos like they did last year, he is going to be your defensive end on the left side. He is he was kind of at times a 3-4 end here. He's been a 4-3 end. He started games last year. He's a bigger guy that can hold up there as opposed to Ninkovich or even Cunningham. He's more of a true D lineman.
And, one note we should mention too, Kyle Love, during one-on-one drills with the offensive line, appeared to get poked pretty severely in the eye and had to leave practice. He went off to the side, had some treatment on the eye, but then couldn't go any further. He eventually walked off the field. And he's been a regular next to Vince Wilfork in most of these.
There was some good news, however. Jeremy Ebert returned to practice today.
Yep.
So, as Eric mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, still not in pads. He has that waiting period that he has to go through. But good to see the rookie out there, just like Nate Ebner late last week.
Mm-hmm. And also, Ahedebo and Slater not wearing the red jerseys anymore.
That's correct. Right. Good call. Good call by you, Darren.
Shut your mic off.
Look like... No, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Also, Bill kind of foreshadowed it in his press conference, but starting to get ready for some situational-type work with the Saints coming in. We saw a lot of hurry-up, two-minute offense type from the shadow of their own goal line to the other end of the field, resulting either in a score of, you know, a touchdown or a field goal. What did you guys think about that period, which was sort of toward the middle to the end of practice?
I thought it was kind of like the rest of practice.
Yeah, just not sharp.
Eh. Just kind of, not terrible, not where it's like every single ball's hitting the ground, but just not sharp, not what you'd expect.
It seemed like every time they had an opportunity to make a play, it was off.
Offensively.
Yeah.
So it was more a product of the offense not being sharp as opposed to the defense making plays.
Yeah, I think it was
Brady
the offense.
Brady missed guys
today.
Down the field.
I thought there were guys open. There was false. That's a good point, too.
Some
big false starts today. I thought in particular there was a play that Brady looked like he wanted to do a fake spike, had Gaffney, I want to say, or maybe Lloyd, going down the right, the left sideline, and he overthrew him. I mean, he was wide open. He was about two or three steps behind the corner on that side. He just overthrew him. So I don't think it was necessarily anything other than bad execution offensively. And I thought Hoyer had opportunities to make some throws in his go-around late in the two-minute drill. Missed Edelman on a deep slant, I think would have been a touchdown, was too tall for him. I just think there were some plays that were left on the field today, and that's kind of the way Tom talked about it in his dealing with us.
And just to build off your preparing for the Saints and situational, starting to go that route, I don't know if it's the first time, but certainly the most extensive time we've seen the scout cards come out. And it was one versus ones, but one side of the ball, either the offense or defense, was running plays off of cards, you know, theoretically either some Saints stuff or whatever, you know, could be Titans stuff as they start to prepare long term for that, but not just going against Patriots stuff on the other side of the ball.
Right. Okay, well, guys, quick turnaround for tomorrow because they're back on the field early.
Sure.
9 a.m., I believe, is the new start time to practice.
That is correct.
So we'll have a morning affair. We'll have Nick Caserio talking to us shortly thereafter along with players. So it's going to be an early day if you're coming to Foxborough tomorrow. And then the Saints come in on Tuesday. We're also expecting the officials' replacement variety this year.
Oh yeah, Bill said they'll be here.
They
now I don't know
here,
if they'll meet with the media because they should not.
They should not be speaking
for the National Football
not
League
a, not
in
at
any
all.
Official manner.
No, but there should be some sort of officiating crew here to at least help out in whatever way they can with new rules implementations and just sort of getting that game-like feel in preparation.
Throw
for
a flag
Thursday
on
night.
Kyle Arrington when he's holding Wes Welker over the middle like he did today.
Right. So we'll be back in really a lot less than 24 hours to recap that practice. So join us on Monday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.